Hey, this is a good place to live, isn't it? I know. I grew up in Edmonton. That's why I'm stuck being an Oilers fan. And it's been a bit of a rough time for me for a while. But I'm telling you, I feel good this year so far. But I'm also very happy about living here because my parents still live back in Edmonton. And it's just so fun to call them. You know? Say, hey, how are you guys doing? What's the temperature? Oh, it's minus 200 again. That's great. It's plus 4 here, and let me show you a picture of my green grass. I love being here. It's been a fantastic move for me and my family. As Glenn said, I have two kids. I've got one wife, and I love them all. We've got about, it feels like 42 animals in our house. For some reason, our house is overrun with animals. We have dog and cat and guinea pig and a toad. At one time, we had fish from the lake my son had captured and put in a tank. They died fairly quickly. But we seem to always have lots of animals around, and they outnumber us generally. But I love being here with them and with our family. We've had a fantastic time the last couple of years. I just want to say thanks to Scott. Hey, thanks so much for letting me to come and speak here for a few minutes. I think there's so much history with the people from this church and Youth for Christ that I'm finding over and over again. And so to be able to have all these different connections is fantastic, whether you've been on staff or a part of the board or different kinds of things that, throughout our history. I just want to say thank you to everything that the church has done for us here. And just friendships like Glenn and the rest of you guys from seeing up at camp. You just forget when you don't come to church and then you look around and you're like, oh yeah, these guys go here. So it's excellent to be a part of things here this morning with you. And I just want to say thanks for all the stuff that you've done for us. And I want to say thanks to Jerry as well, because you fixed my van for me when all the rats were coming and eating it. And that's a new problem for me. I'm not used to rats eating my wires, but they do. And they make me angry. I could rant, but I won't. But I'm really excited to come and share some stories with you guys here this morning, because there's so many good, how many know that there's good things taking place in the kingdom of God in this city? There's good stories. This is a good place. I want you to know this is a good place to be right now. Because all kinds of stuff is happening. I have the opportunity to talk to many different people from churches all over the place and hear all these incredible stories. And it's not just stories around the stuff that's happening with us in Youth for Christ, but it's stuff that's happening across the board with our churches. And I'm going to share a few of those things here this morning with you just to encourage you, because I think testimonies are powerful. Hearing the stories about what God is doing, sometimes we get overwhelmed with our lives and what's taking place in our lives, and we're like, oh my gosh, my children, I could ring them if we could just do something. And something happens, or work gets heavy, or relationships, or whatever. There's something, you know, there's always this stuff happening around and becomes difficult. So testimonies are the things where we start talking about what God is doing, and those things inevitably, when we glorify God, lift us up and make us encouraged. And so we're going to tell stories here this morning, if that's okay with you. It doesn't really matter, because I'm up here. So you're going to hear my stories whether you like them or not. Hopefully, some of them are new for some of you, and they're not all old, and you've heard them from me before, but there might be a couple of repeats in there. It's okay. You sing the same song more than once. You can hear my stories more than once. It's exciting. In fact, we had so many testimonies when I first came with Youth for Christ, and stuff started building within our, as we built up our staff and things got bigger, we'd get together and we'd end up telling too many stories in the morning. So we had to pare it down and say, okay, our first thing that we do in our staff meeting is tell the best story of the week. Because you want to do the best story, and that's all you get. You don't get, you know, your second and third best. They might be good, but we only have time for the best ones. And as a result, we've tried. It's still hard. You know, these guys, they never listen. They still sneak in two or three while you're not paying attention. And everyone likes to hear them, so it's kind of a bit of a madhouse over there. But it's good. I came here 3.5 years ago. Just about 3.5 years ago, I worked with another ministry called Life Force Teams for about 20 years, doing evangelistic missions, working with local churches, but also being able to travel back and forth across the country. We took young adults, we put them on the teams, we went into schools, we did motivational presentations, we went into seniors' homes, we went into drop-in centers, we went into whatever place would allow us to go into to talk to people about Jesus. We partnered really closely with churches all the way along, and over the years, the number of years that I was with them, we were able to be in over 30 different countries. We were able to talk to 25,000 kids every year about Jesus or God presentation, sometimes up to 75,000 when we're in the schools per year. And it was an absolutely wonderful time, but God was starting to move us and move our hearts towards something new. My wife and I, a few years ago, and she was ready to move a couple years before I was, but it still happened. Eventually I got the thing there and realized that it was time to do something different. And opportunity opened up here. Now, I interned about 250 years ago at Glad Tidings. Did some youth work there in between my Bible school terms. And so I was familiar with Victoria, and I was familiar with YFC Victoria, actually, because there were some pretty good things taking place back then in 1991. And it was an exciting time. And I know that we've been through a bunch of different things throughout the years, but God has continued to be faithful. And through the faithful work of some of you and some of the people that have been with us on staff, we're now seeing some new things happen. When I decided it was time to move out here, I came and had my interview with the board and that, and I sat down with them, and we chatted for a few minutes, and at our meeting around the table, and we just had a great time. But on my way back, after kind of all my meetings and sitting down with people, I was driving back up to the airport to fly back to Calgary, where I was from. And as I was driving up, I had like this vision or picture kind of go across my mind. Don't worry, it was Jesus oriented, so I wasn't too distracted. But as I'm driving, I just had this thought or this picture of an open kind of field here with some rocks and long grass. It was the summertime, so the grass was all dead. But it was just starting to go like this and starting to move up and just kind of swell up. And that was the word that came to me, was a groundswell. And immediately God spoke to me and said, there's a groundswell work of my spirit in Victoria. And I thought, oh, this is something I could get involved in. Because that means everyone else has done the hard work already. We just get to come in and reap and be part of that wave of what God is doing. And that's all I've seen since I've come here, is God's stories over and over and over again all over the place. This groundswell move of God. Maybe not thousands of people are suddenly coming to Jesus and finding their hope and their passion in Him. But we're seeing things take place over and over again. And it's an exciting time to be here with you guys. I'm gonna run through a couple things. I'll tell you a quick bit of history of each of our ministries that we're running now, and then and we'll run through some of these slides and let you know what's going on in Victoria with Youth for Christ, and then a few other things as well. We'll get to some scripture and that as well in a minute. So if we just go to the first thing, when I showed up here in 2013, Rick Wismer was running the bus ministry. So if we can show that'd be great. Rick now has this big, massive blue bus. When I came, our bus used to be the double-decker one. It used to say refuge bus or something on the side of it. It had the big animals on there, the dogs attacking and the dove being... It really freaked some people out. Anyways, there was message behind it, but anyways... That bus couldn't get up the hills anymore. It actually got stuck at the bottom of a hill one day. And so we towed it out of there and parked it at the church and just left it there. And whenever we started up, we smoked out the whole neighborhood, and people were calling everyone because we're blowing the ozone single-handedly. Anyways, Rick had gone into a time where he was working on three different reserves and raising some money to purchase this bus. Since then... he was able to get this about a year after I showed up, which was fantastic. Many of you invested in that. And since then, now that ministry has just gone off the charts. He was ministering to about 40 kids, maybe between the three reserves that he was working on. But now, if you go to the next slide, you can see that we're on five different reserves. He's not only just these five, but... we've been invited. We just got a letter of invitation from the Cowichan tribes up in Duncan. They've asked us to come and work with their kids. They have 800 kids between the ages of 8 and 16. They want us to come and help. They invited us. They said, we're excited to have you. In the letter they wrote from the council, from the band, it said, we're excited to have you come and be a part of things. We're excited for the, and they listed all the stuff off, the games, the mentorship, the character classes, the God talks, that all the snacks, they wrote right in the letter, we want you to come and basically tell our kids about Jesus. And we want to give you our most at-risk group, which is our 8 to 12-year-olds. And so we're just in the process right now of setting that up, which is thrilling. We've got people that are coming on board in Duncan and helping out. We've got volunteers. We've got prayer teams started. We have finances starting to flow in for that kind of thing. And we're going to be not just running on the reserves down here in the southern part, but we're going to start boosting it up there. We've got another staff guy that's just in the middle of raising his finances to come on and help us out there. So we're pretty excited. That's why I said, when I said 8 or 9, I'm not really sure. We're kind of just in the process. I don't know how to call some of those guys, because every one of us are youth missionaries and we raise our own support to be here and to be able to take these ministries on. So it's exciting. Starting to explode. Every week we got good stories about what's taking place up there. Campus life is something that has been revived since we've been able to come. Weirdly, I'll tell you, it was weird how this came about. We had prayed and said, you know, God, we feel that we're supposed to be in the schools here and work in the schools, but that's obviously been a closed door for a long time. We don't really know what to do about that. But we'll see what happens. So I went to school one day to complain about a book that my son was reading in his English class, because it was way overboard. He couldn't see movies that had the content that this book had. Lots of references to homosexual activity between adults and minors. They had references to girls' breasts. There was a ton of swear words in it, a bunch of F-bombs in there, and all kinds of stuff. And so I went and I said, you know, I worked with youth for 20 years. I'm here to kind of complain about the book. I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. And he's like, what do you mean you worked with youth for 20 years? I said, well, this is what I used to do, motivational stuff in schools, and we did this, and we did that, and we traveled, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, you did. He said, do you think that you could actually get something for our opening assemblies in the fall then? And I'm like, I'm here to complain about the book. Probably we could work something out, but back to this. And we chatted for a few more minutes. He said, well, what are you doing here? I said, I'm working with Youth for Christ. I said, one of our dreams is to have one of our staff members in every school in Victoria. And he's like, oh, really? He said, I'll tell you what. He said, if you get a staff member, I'll put him in my school in the fall. I was like, oh, okay. But back to the book. By the time I had left there, we'd end up having a fantastic conversation. That was the first school that opened to us. That's at Spencer Middle School. And Spencer, we're running a breakfast program in there with my friend Claudio, who I hired to come out here. I sent him a picture in the middle of winter of what it looked like here, and he said, I'm in. He moved out here from Calgary with his family, and it's been unbelievable. He's had incredible chances to talk within the school because the kids are asking him about his faith. They're bringing up the conversation. Just before Christmas, he had 5 kids in his breakfast club, which is normally about 25, but because it was a snow day, nobody showed up. We had that whole inch of snow. You know how it is. But he had about 5 kids in there, and they started talking to him about the things that they were learning, because they had to do the religion studies in their grade 7 class. I believe Glenn had an incredible opportunity to speak to one of the schools here about that, use your building to explain Christianity. They started asking him questions. He was able to share everything about his faith and about Jesus with these kids right in the middle of the school. It was fantastic. It was actually funny, because he got into the school, and 4 days in, because we thought, you know, we're going to have to really pray about this, and we want to be careful. We don't want to overstep our bounds and all those kinds of things. He'd been in the school 4 days, and we're not talking to any kids about Jesus. We're going as Youth for Christ. They know we're Youth for Christ. But he's in there 4 days, and some kid says to him, right out of the blue, with no preamble, hey, do you know anything about God? Just incredible. Incredible. God's opening up doors all over the place. We do a mentorship thing up at Dunsmuir Futbolito Club. We're going to be expanding that into an after-school program as well, where we will be able to talk with the kids more about Christ on an official basis, because it'll be sponsored by Youth for Christ. We're into a couple more schools as well. We're doing some mentorship stuff with a Heroes program out in Journey Middle School. They apparently love us out there, which has been great. We've had a young couple out there, and they're doing a fantastic work. They've actually asked them to come in, and now we're teaching classes for them on strength-based making decisions. So that's kind of the direction that we're going with some of those things. Those guys eventually were praying and believing that God will open up a drop-in center in Souk, and they'll be able to run that, but they'll already know all the kids from town. because they're in the school. So we're thrilled about those things. So campus life is up and running and going really well. Dave Peacock started with Global Impact, is what he's called his ministry, and he works with a compassionate resource warehouse, and we're filling containers full of goods and shipping them to countries overseas, all kinds of different stuff in there, and just kind of as a second wave or a third wave of help to maybe some areas that have been hit by difficult times. He's in charge of all the youth programs and the youth teams that come, so I believe the youth have gone from here at times to go down and help arrange stuff in the warehouse or fill containers or get them all ready to ship them overseas. He's actually got he's got contacts with four different schools that are coming there on a consistent basis to do that as well. In fact, right now he has one. The Esquimalt High School is using Dave and Youth for Christ and the Compassionate Resource Warehouse to bring one of their kids out who are struggling with school so they can get them out of the school and into a situation where they can do a little bit of other things that will help them. And what it's offered an opportunity for us to do is to talk with that kid about Jesus. and the school is saying, we love having you go out there. They're telling the kid, go do it. And do you have room for another kid? Do you have room for another girl? Is there a girl that we can work with to have this stuff done? So it's pretty exciting, that aspect of things with them. Open Arms Ministry is a friend of mine, Jeremy. He works downtown. Some of you may know about this. He's a big kid. He's huge. He used to have a blue mohawk. I don't know what it is now because it changes all the time. But he's down there and he's working with the street community and working with young people and young adults and a little bit older, because some of the older ones are still acting like they're young people. And they do a barbecue every Saturday night where they meet and greet with everybody. They pray. It's the most organized food thing outside in Centennial Square you'll ever see. It's amazing. All these homeless guys line up nicely. They wait for someone to pray. They wait for us to say it's time to come in and get your stuff. And then they go and sit down in their groups and just have at it. Jeremy gets around and his team gets around to go talk to them. And they've seen an unbelievable amount of people being healed. They pray for people and they get healed all the time. There was a girl that was a witch last year, and she hangs out with them all the time because she's on the streets, and she has a problem with her knee, and they said, can we pray for you? She's like, no, you can't pray for me, but I want to help you hand out some of your sandwiches. So they went and handed out stuff and spent some time. They prayed for about four or five people, and while they were going around on the streets praying for people, these people kept getting healed of whatever it was that they asked them to get prayed for. And this girl, by the time they came back, they said, you know what, is it okay if we pray for you now? She's like, yeah, okay, sure. And they went and prayed for her. Boom! This witch gets healed. Her knee comes completely healed in a moment. She starts screaming at him, what did you do to me? What did you do to me? And they just said, you know what? It's Jesus. It's because he loves you and he cares about you and he wants your life. Now, she hasn't come to know him yet, but she knows that there's some power out there that's good. And that's part of the step and part of the process with her. One of my, I gotta keep going. Oh, I get too excited. Too many things happen. So we have a lot of those things going on all the time. They're doing meetings with them every week. And at YFC, we've taken over a guy that's doing some work up in Nanaimo. Last year, he saw 15 kids give their hearts to Christ and start youth groups in churches that didn't have them. And it's just been incredible. And a lot of this is because of Mary Morrison and the blessing who prays and prays and prays and gathers people to pray for us. Because without prayer, nothing takes place. And I want to honor Mary as much as I can. She is the oldest staff member in all of Youth for Christ. She'd probably kill me if I told you how old she was, so I won't. But she's been with us for 35 years, and it's just been unbelievable what she's done. And really, the only reason that we're here, is because of her. She's doubled her amount of intercessors for us and all that. So it's a thrilling time. It's a thrilling time to see what the faith that God has given us can do. It's not just about Youth for Christ. This is about Jesus doing stuff in the city. And it's not just our ministry. We see it all over the place. And it's not just always born out of easy times and simple things. I want to read some verses from Romans chapter 5. And I'll just read these out. Romans chapter 5, verses 1. These are like theme verses for me in my life. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, or some versions say, hope does not disappoint us. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Hope does not disappoint us. Because the hope that we have is not some wishful thinking kind of hope. The definition of that, when they're writing the word hope and throughout the New Testament, it continually says the eager expectation of something good. The expectation, the confidence, the knowledge that this hope that we have is not some, oh man, if this works out, this will be excellent. It's, this is going to work out. This is going to move forward for me. I have a hope that's in Jesus that brings me all kinds of things. It brings me peace and joy. It brings me all kinds of things that I need in the middle of my struggles and in the middle of all the things that I'm going through, my sufferings. And as long as I'm persevering through my suffering, I see that my character develops. But in that, I have the expectation of something good to come. The hope of Christ. The world is yearning for hope. Over and over, we find kids that don't have hope. That's why they're doing the bizarre things that they're doing. It's because they're looking for hope. They're looking for that thing where they know and they have the confidence that something good is happening for them. And that something good is Jesus. Jesus is good. Jesus wants to do something for them. And it's not just for the kids. It's for these other ones as well that are older. I like kids. I like youth because you can make them do almost anything. But the hope of Christ isn't just for youth. It's for adults as well. We went through some real difficult times as a family a while back. My daughter went crazy, literally. That sounds light, but it's true. She went crazy. She developed something bizarre when she was younger, about 5 or 6 years old, called childhood disintegrative disorder, and she used to just beat herself senseless and pulled out all her hair. She would have these 2.5 hour breakdowns where we'd literally just have to lay on top of her and hold her down and keep her from harming herself or us or the house. She cost me a fortune in my house. She destroyed it. In the middle of all that, we're praying and praying because of these continual meltdowns that she would have several times a day, and no one could fix it, and they told us basically, you have no hope. This is what you're stuck with for the rest of your life. But at the beginning of that, Jesus spoke to me quite clearly, because you're praying a lot, right, when you go through this stuff? And as I'm praying, he's saying, she will be fully restored, was this little quiet voice that I felt strongly about. She will be fully restored. There was no promise as to when or how long or any of those kinds of things. But that was a promise that I got from God. And that promise gave me hope. Because it was God himself speaking it. And if God speaks it, it has to come to pass. So my only deal was to persevere with it. To continue going after God. Continue. It was hard lots of times. Major things. I had gone through it, and we had grabbed her for like an hour or 2 hours and had to hold her back while she frosted the mouth and banged her head on the floor and did all these crazy things, and we're trying to restrain her, and finally she kind of pops out of it, and I went for a walk, and I'm praying. I'm like, God, why? You're killing me. Why? Why are you taking so long? Why are you doing this to us? Why are you doing this to her? Why are you doing this to me? This is brutal. And he stopped me cold in the middle of my tracks. He said, Linz, you're asking the wrong questions. You can't ask me why anymore. You can only ask me when. Because when will always remind you of the promise that he gave you. When you're saying, when are you going to heal her? When will she be fully restored? Every time I speak that, I'm speaking faith and expectation, hope. I said, okay, when? And he disappeared. You know how it is? He's kind of like that. But in the middle of all that, it changed how I prayed. A short time later, a little while after that, she started to change. She was out of school for the first 2 years because they couldn't handle her. And then eventually she kind of got back in part-time. Eventually she got back in full-time. Eventually they took all the codes off of her. We held her back. Excuse me. For a year, because she was still trying to catch up to everyone else, which you learn a lot in those first 2 years, turns out. She's now in grade 8, and if she was here with us today, you wouldn't know that there's anything wrong with her whatsoever. Now, she still has a little ways to go. She's not fully restored, but we're believing that God will do that. And we can keep asking, when is this going to come to pass? Because that's our hope. Our hope is in Christ. Our world is looking for hope. Looking for it all over the place. I was just talking with my friend Noah. He's a youth pastor. Actually works with Young Life as well. And Noah was at work at the restaurant that he worked at. And his boss, who's this Indian guy, had some struggles. And Noah said, you know what, I can pray for you if you want. And he prayed for the guy, and the guy got healed. Now, the guy hasn't come to faith. But then this past week, he took Noah aside. He said, hey, listen. He said, I feel like there's some real negative stuff and negativity taking place in our office or in our restaurant. Do you think you could get together with some people or something and kind of pray that out? And I was like, yeah. So I believe either they've done it already this weekend or they're going to do it next week. He's got a few people gathered together. They're going to go and pray through the whole restaurant. It'll be the most blessed restaurant ever. Because that's who our God is. Because people are looking for something and they see that there's something real here. And this is just part of his process of coming to Jesus. It's an exciting time. My daughter's friend's mom, best friend's mom. We've known her for a couple years now. She went to a church, but it wasn't necessarily an evangelical church. Just the last 4 months, she switched over and she's been starting to go to my friend's church. And Chris told me on Friday that she came in on Thursday just to sit down and said, I got a whole bunch of questions. And she started out with, you keep talking about the gospel. She goes, can you just tell me what the gospel is? He's like, this is like the Super Bowl of all questions. He's like, this is the greatest question ever. They sat there for the next hour, hour and a half, while he answered several questions that she had about faith and about how that integrates with her family. And by the time she was done, it was obvious that she had given her life over to Jesus. She's going to get baptized here next time they have a go around with that. God's starting to move. He's doing all these things in town, whether we like it or not. There's another friend of mine that's pastoring a church, and he told us a story about this lady that was works or owns a metaphysical bookstore downtown somewhere, with all the crystals and all that business. Anyway, she was up early in the morning and she was doing her morning meditations there, kind of getting in tune with whatever. While she's sitting there doing her meditations, she has a vision of Jesus who comes and says, you need to follow me. She comes out of her time there with the Lord, goes to her husband, hey, I just had this vision of Jesus and he told me I have to follow him. And her husband said, well, you should probably do it if that was him. So she walks down the street, goes and visits the church, starts talking with the pastor and his wife and gives her heart to Christ. 3 months later, her husband showed up in church, gave his heart to Jesus. God's word, he's doing stuff. There's a girl that from one of our churches downtown who was out and she was working with WestJet. Pardon me, she wasn't working with Jet. She was on a WestJet flight flying from Edmonton back here to Victoria. She's sitting beside a lady who's got some major back problems, and the only reason she knew that is because the lady kept complaining about it. My back, oh my back. You know, it's your favorite person, right, when you're on the plane? My back, I'm dying. You put the earplugs in. But the Lord starts speaking to this girl and says, you know what, you gotta pray for her. You gotta pray for her. She's like, and she's like, now she's arguing with Jesus. Nick, no. How many of you have this ever happened, right? Lord says, you need to pray for that person. You need to say something. You're like, oh, I don't think so. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to her because he lives in her and the power of God lives in this girl. Right? That's what we believe. That Jesus himself is living in us. So she's like, no, no, no. This lady keeps complaining. They fly all the way back. They get to Victoria. And the Lord is speaking so harshly to her. She's like, finally, she's like, listen, if she says it one more time, I'll pray for her. They're coming in for a landing. Not much time left. They come in for a landing. They land. They taxi up to the thing. They go to open the door. The WestJet people come on at the front and say, we're not sure what's going on, but the door seems to be frozen shut. She's like, you gotta be kidding me. This lady goes, oh, you gotta be kidding, my back's killing me. She says, okay. She turns, she says, you know what, I'm a Christian, I'd love to pray for you and see if God will heal you. She's like, okay, whatever. She leans over, prays for her, just a real simple prayer. You know, Jesus, would you heal her? Would you show her that you're real and you love her? Would you heal her back now in Jesus' name? And the lady yells, "Whoa, what'd you do to me?" She goes, "What do you mean?" She goes, "All the pain just shot right out of my body." This other person across the aisle says, "Whoa, what's going on?" This girl's like, this lady starts yelling, "This girl just prayed for me and I got healed." Is it WestJet on the tarmac at the airport? The person's like, "Well, I got a sore back. Could you pray for me?" The girl's like, "Okay." WestJet's trying to figure out how to open the door. People are asking for prayer. Next person gets healed. Another person stands up. "Can you pray for me? I've got problems." I think it was with their eyes. I think it was something with their vision. She tells the girl, tells the lady who just got healed beside her, "Why don't you pray for them?" This lady doesn't know Jesus yet. She turns around, prays for him, boom, person gets healed. They said about 6 or 7 people got healed in WestJet before they got the door open. God is at work. It's a thrilling time to be alive. And it's a thrilling time to be here. Together, the Church of Victoria and all the different ministries in town, Youth for Christ, Living Edge, Young Life, Sanctuary Youth Center, the Community Youth, and the Church of Victoria need to hold hands and get together and really, truly allow the hope of Christ that we carry with us everywhere that we go to infiltrate our culture, because it's what they're looking for anyways. We need to partner together to see this stuff happen. We're watching it take place at our church right now. It's been absolutely amazing. I'm going. You know, Scott said to me, "Do you think you can manage this?" We have a young adult couple who came off the streets. They got saved. They got free of drugs. They're in a discipleship process. They've come to Christ. They look completely different than they did 6 months ago. They look different because Jesus has made a difference in their life. But it wasn't just because our Youth for Christ guy got out there and led them to Christ. Because they've settled into our church, and our church has got an immense amount of grace, and our church is starting to figure out what they were made for, and that's to love on people that come into the kingdom. And as they've loved on them, they've seen growth and all that stuff. 2 weeks ago, they got engaged. They're getting married. It's beautiful. You should see it. I just love it. I love watching it. So it's about a partnership together to see the grace and the hope of Christ come to our city, come to our region, come to our area. And we'd love it if you were a part of things with us. If you want to volunteer with us, we need some volunteers. If you're like, "Man, I need to be on staff doing something like this," we'd love to take you as a staff member. You want to give us, $150,000, I'll certainly take that. I'm never afraid. We're always looking for new partners. But at the same time, it's about a partnership together to bring the hope of Christ to our region, because that's what he's called us here to be. The hope of Jesus in our city. Let's pray for a sec. Jesus, I simply ask for this. That we would carry your hope, that we would carry your grace to the people in our city that need it. Whether it's on our streets, in our next door neighbors, or in our schools, or in the different areas downtown, or on the edges, whoever it is that we come in contact with, Father, would you empower us with the grace and the courage and the strength to share the very thing that they're looking for, which is hope in you. Let us do that this week, God. And may we have phenomenal stories when we get together next week. In your name.